Today's Midday Interview features North Carolina author Charlie Lovett in conversation with WHQR's Bob Workman. Charlie's novel, The Bookman's Tale, has received much acclaim for its blending of romance and literary mystery and has been recommended by major booksellers as well as mentions on What's Hot lists nationwide. The Bookman's Tale is a story of a man haunted by a dead wife, stirred from mourning by a mysterious portrait and a renewed debate over the authorship of Shakespeare's plays.
Charlie, is this your first novel?
It's very interesting. This is not my first novel. I think what they'll call it is my breakthrough novel. I have one novel that I wrote back in the 90s that is sitting in a drawer and hopefully will stay there forever. I certainly don't ever want to read it again. I hope nobody else does.
Why?
And then I have a novel that I wrote in the 2000s that was published by a little micro publisher in Nashville, Tennessee. The sort of publisher where if you sell a few hundred copies, that's a good press run. And then this book, I think it's my 14th book, including all my various works of nonfiction. I think they've probably given away more free copies than the total combined sales of my previous books. So
oh, no.
I described it to somebody as if I had been playing stickball in my backyard and suddenly got the call from the New York Yankees to, you know, come try out for the team.
Well, you know, I happen to know a couple of pieces of nonfiction of yours, a beautiful memoir about your mom, and also a book about a pilgrimage you made through the British Isles, England in particular. Is that true, if I remember correctly?
Yeah, I did a trip in 2000 where I was sort of tracing the development of early Christianity in the British Isles, and especially in England and Scotland. So I started in Iona, where the Celtic missionaries had come over from Ireland. And then we ended up down in Canterbury, where the Roman missionaries came from Rome, obviously.
Yeah.
And sort of connected those two strands and visited lots of cathedrals and shrines and just sometimes very forgotten places that had been 1,000 or 1,500 years ago quite important to the history of the development of the church.
So The Bookman's Tale, this novel of obsession, it's subtitled, is partly set in the English countryside. Was that your first encounter on that pilgrimage with the area that you sort of write about?
My first trip to England came when I was in high school. I spent about 3 months there on a study program, and we were living in the countryside outside of Cambridge and traveled around England and Wales fairly extensively. And I just fell in love with it. I've been going back ever since. My wife and daughter and I spent 6 months in the same little village that Peter's cottage is in the village of Kingham, in 1997, because we just wanted to have the experience of living in another country as opposed to just being a tourist. And then 10 years after that, we ended up actually buying the cottage that we had lived in and renovating it, and we usually spend about 5 or 6 weeks a year over there. So I think one of the things for me in writing The Bookman's Tale that helped it to be a better book than things I had written in the past was that I was writing about things that I was really passionate about, old books and the English countryside being sort of the two main ones. And I really felt like I knew the world that Peter lived in.
In writing Peter and his late wife, Amanda, as the story unfolds, we find out pretty quickly he's a widower. These are things that you connect with. You connect with in some ways. I've read anyway that are very personal to you. Your mom died when you were very young, and you made a connection with her quite accidentally, after moving from the home in which you started your life. And tell us a little bit about that story. What you discovered about your mom that sort of was
moment. When I was first starting out in the my MFA program in Vermont College, one of the projects that I worked on was a memoir about my mom, because as you said, she died when I was 2 years old, and I didn't really feel like I had known her, and for most of my adult life, I had just sort of said, well, she died when I was 2 years old, and sort of kind of dismissed it as unimportant. But at about that time, I had my own two-year-old, and so I started to see that my previous dismissive attitude had not really been very accurate in terms of portraying what the relationship was like between a parent and a two-year-old. And so I started to talk to people who had known her, people who went to high school with her. You know, I had letters from all sorts of old friends of hers and conversations with people who had known her and dug up all kinds of documents. It was amazing the footprints that were still left from a fairly short life lived in the 1930s through the 1960s. And one of the things that I found that sort of is reflected in the opening scene of The Bookman's Tale, and I never really made this connection until people started asking me, as a bookseller and a book collector, have you ever opened a book and found anything surprising in the way that Peter opens a book and finds this surprising portrait that appears to be his wife but can't be his wife? And one of the things I found was going back to my childhood home when it was on the market getting ready to be sold, I thought it'd be interesting to see the house the way she had first seen it, empty. And down in a room in the basement on top of an empty bookshelf, I found this old French high school textbook that had been hers, and her name was written all over it, and the name of her then-boyfriend was written all over it. And she had actually blotted her lipstick on the end paper. Mm. So here, some 30 years after her death and 50 years after she'd been in high school were these perfectly bright red imprints of her lips on the end papers of this book. And so the kind of experience that Peter has, I think, when we open a book and you find something surprising, is something that those of us who open a lot of old books have had, on many occasions.
I want to ask you about your relationship with books in general again in just a moment, but in talking about that Amanda moment that you had with your mom's French textbook and then getting back to the characters in The Bookman's Tale, the subtitle, I understand, is Not Yours, though it sort of fits in a couple of ways. I mean, there is the obsession that Peter has in thinking about his late wife. There's also this literary mystery that is very important to the plot of the story. And
Right. Yeah, I did not come up with the subtitle, but I like it very much. As soon as I saw that, I thought, it is sort of a novel of obsession, and there's a lot of characters in the novel who have different sorts of obsessions, and those characters live in time periods from the 1590s all the way through to the current day. The novel's told in three time frames, and one of them is a modern-day mystery where Peter's trying to find out the origins of this watercolor that falls out of the book. But he's also stumbles upon an artifact that seems to be something that belonged to William Shakespeare and that could be very key in sort of ending once and for all the discussion about whether Shakespeare was really the author of all those plays. So a virtually invaluable literary artifact. The problem Peter's having is he's not sure if it's real, and there's other people who seem to be on the trail of this same artifact or trying to cover up its possible forgery, and there are murders happening. So that all happens in one time frame. That story takes about 8 or 9 days in the mid-1990s. And then the middle time frame is Peter's romance with Amanda and also his falling in love with rare books when he first sort of encounters that world as a college student. But then the back story is the story of this artifact, and here we meet all sorts of interesting historical characters who are obsessed in a variety of ways, and many of them are real people, William Shakespeare and Christopher Marlowe and Robert Greene, the Elizabethan writers, and some 18th-century book collectors and some 19th-century characters as well, all forgers and other characters who were all real people, and through their stories I've woven a few fictional people who who are obsessed with books and with forgery and with various aspects having to do with the front story at different times during the historical part of the novel. So I tried to really make sure there were these links between the historical scenes and the modern day scenes, whether they were thematic links or linguistic or character driven, so that the whole thing would sort of hang together as a book, even though it's told in these three different time frames.
I get the sense this was a lot of fun for you to write.
It was. I mean, the first draft, really, I just sort of didn't worry about how it was going to all fit together, and I just wrote, wherever I felt like I needed to write at the time. I literally was at a point where I had done an outline of every scene in the book, and it cut them into little slips of paper and laid them out on a table and was constantly sort of rearranging these slips of paper to make sure that the reader was going to find out information in the right order and wasn't going to be jerked back and forth between time frames too rapidly and those kind of things. So that was, at that point, it was almost like a puzzle, really. So there were a lot of different phases of the creation, but that was a fun one.
Before our time runs out, there are a couple of things I wanted to talk about with you. One is the fact that you are a bibliophile. So much is made of how children basically pick up the reading habit or the book habit, for lack of a better word or a term, when they're young. And I was wondering if you had such an experience when you were young. Was there someone in your life who brought books into your world that live with you to this day, really?
Well, certainly, you know, my father was an English professor at Wake Forest for 40 years. He was also a book collector. He collected different editions of Robinson Crusoe, the great English novel. And so I grew up in a house where both literature and physical books were valued, and I think I kept those, both of those values with me, that I very much love the text of books. I like to read books, but I also like the physical object that is a book. So as a book collector, I get to enjoy both of those things.
Yes. And now, in full disclosure, I have to tell our listeners that you and I have been acquainted with one another for a few years. In fact, before you ever knew me, I knew who you were because I went into your bookshop and bought two volumes, I remember distinctly, a volume of Dance Criticism and a copy of No Time for Sergeants that I gave as a gift to my father. That was some time ago.
That's a while ago, yeah. I went to a bookshop here in Winston-Salem, an antiquarian bookshop, for about 6 or 7 years in the late 80s and early 90s. And I've been out of the rare book business as a business person since that time, but I've continued to collect, and so I've stayed really connected to that world. And that world really does form the major background of The Bookman's Tale. I've always liked novels that sort of give you a backstage view of some world that you didn't know very much about, and I think that's what The Bookman's Tale does in terms of the antiquarian book world, without sort of lecturing you or hitting you over the head. It lets you kind of see behind the curtains of that world.
Charlie Lovett, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us.
Thank you, Bob.
Bob Workman speaking with author Charlie Lovett about his book, The Bookman's Tale, here on WHQR.